When the sun goes down, burn the tar up on the roof. And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah, on a blanket with my babies, where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking about.
Under the boardwalk,
welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report. This is Bob Padula in Melbourne, Australia, bringing to you our latest roundup of news concerning shortwave broadcasting stations around the world. We include information concerning propagation reports, monitoring information, solar activity news, schedule information, and other items of interest to shortwave monitoring enthusiasts. A reminder that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Latest information from the Ionospheric Prediction Service in Sydney, in New South Wales, here in Australia, indicates that sunspot activity has increased slightly since our last report. The daily smooth sunspot number has risen to 6, that single figures, single digit 6, and the 10.7 centimetre solar radio flux has increased to 68, that's 6.8. So we should expect marginal improvement in long distance propagation on frequencies above about 12 MHz on darkness or semi-darkness paths in the immediate future. We're still moving through the plateau, or the final phase actually, of sunspot cycle number 24, and this is not expected to decrease or to terminate until at least 12 months from now. Here in Melbourne, propagation continues to be quite good during the pre-sunrise period here, with good reception from all continents. This is a report listing notable frequency occupancies across the time span 1845 to 1900. That's pre-sunrise here in Melbourne. Good reception on the 5, 6, 7 and 9 MHz bands. 5930 South Africa, the BBC from the Mayerton relay station with its programs in French. 5995 Taiwan, the Voice of Hope, the politically based station broadcasting in Korean. 6165, another frequency for the BBC, this time from the Oman relay station with broadcasts in Pash 2. 7205, the Sudan Broadcasting Service in Arabic. And Iran, the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, broadcasting in French. And some frequencies for China Radio International, 7340 from Kashi in Italian, 9645 from Kunming in French, and 9695 also from Kunming but in Bulgarian. Another frequency for the BBC from the Singapore relay station, Kranji, 7465 with programs in Pash 2. And 7540, station right up at the top end of the 41 metre band, Voice of America, Radio Diwa or Diwa Radio, broadcasting from Udorn in Thailand with Push 2 programming. And the UAE, the BBC on 9545 from the Dabaya relay station with programs in Amharic. And 9570, World Christian Radio, the religious broadcasting station using the transmitter at Madagascar with its programs in Russian. and 9775 Radio Romania International with its broadcasts in German. And just up from there in frequency 9785, The Voice of Turkey in English. 9820, The Voice of America from the Lampathon relay station in Germany with programs in Kurdish. And right up at the top end of the 31 meter band, 9965, Radio Free Asia from the Marianas Islands relay station in Chinese. So that was a summary of some notes I made recently here in Melbourne across the time span 1845 to 1900. That's just prior to our local sunrise. Something a little different now. This has come from the Space Daily online newsletter, which is advertised as your portal for space, and we look at a little bit about the history of radio. One of the most fundamental predictions of Einstein's theory of relativity is the existence of black holes. In spite of the recent detection of gravitational waves from binary black holes, direct evidence using electromagnetic waves remains elusive, and astronomers are looking for it with radio telescopes. For the first time, collaborators in the ERC-funded project have compared self-consistent and realistic images of the shadow of an accreting supermassive black hole, such as the black hole candidate Sagittarius A, in the heart of our galaxy, both in general relativity and in a different theory of gravity. The goal was to test if Einsteinian black holes can be distinguished from those in alternative theories of gravity. Not all of the light rays or photons produced by matter falling into a black hole are trapped by the event horizon, a region of space-time from which nothing can escape. Some of these photons will reach distant observers, so that when a black hole is observed directly, a shadow is expected against the background sky. The size and shape of the shadow will depend on the black hole's properties and on the theory of gravity. Because the largest deviations from Einstein's theory of relativity are expected very close to the event horizon, and since alternative theories of gravity make different predictions on the properties of shadow, direct observations of Sagittarius A represent a very promising approach for testing gravity in the strongest regime. Making such images of the black hole shadow is the prime goal of the International Event Horizon Telescope Collaboration, EHTC, which combines radio data from telescopes around the world. Scientists from the Black Hole CAM team in Europe, who are part of the EHTC, have now gone a step further and investigated whether it's possible to distinguish between a Kerr black hole from Einstein's gravity and a dilaton black hole, which is a possible solution of an alternative theory of gravity. The researchers studied the evolution of matter falling into the two very different types of black holes and calculated the radiation emitted to construct the images. Furthermore, real-life physical conditions in the telescopes and interstellar medium were used to create physically realistic images. To capture the effects of different black holes, we used realistic simulations of accretion disks with near-identical initial setups. These expensive numerical simulations used state-of-the-art codes and several months on the Institute's supercomputer, LOW, says Dr. Mizuno, lead author of the study. Moreover, expected radio images obviously have a limited resolution and image fidelity. When using realistic image resolutions, the scientists found, to their surprise, that even highly non-Einsteinian black holes could disguise themselves as normal black holes. The results show that there are theories of gravity in which black holes can masquerade as Einsteinian, so new techniques maybe needed to tell them apart. Wallace believed general relativity is correct. As scientists, it is said they need to be open-minded. Luckily, future observations and more advanced techniques will eventually settle these doubts. Michael Kramer, director at the MPI for Radio Astronomy in Bonn, Germany, says independent information from an orbiting pulsar, which we are actively searching for, will help eliminate these ambiguities. There is little doubt, he says, that the EHT will eventually obtain strong evidence of a black hole shadow. These results encourage us to refine our techniques beyond the current state of the art and thus make even sharper images in the future. So that was a transcript of an article headed "Can We Tell Black Holes Apart to Test Theories of Gravity?" And it impinges quite strongly on propagation of radio as we know it today worldwide. And the article is acknowledged to the Space Daily online newsletter. That's all the information in our program this time. We hope you found the broadcast interesting and helpful for your shortwave radio monitoring.
Joy, and I learned about the pain that my mama said. If I should choose to make a part of me, for sure let's strike me dead. And now I'm one toe over the line, sweet Jesus, one toe over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Sail away.